Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game, final hour of the show. Derek Mason on vacation this week. Caroline Fenton finally officially announces this morning where she is headed next, and that is to Yahoo Sports. Congratulations to her. Willie Donick here with you, my special guest star host this week. Last week it was Hal Gill when we had Elliot Friedman on. This week, Adam Vingan is in studio with us, and we have been setting the table for the week ahead, which is going to be very, very special. We had, of course, a great Game 7 for the Stanley Cup Final to kick off the week, and now everybody looking at the draft and free agency coming up on Monday. So, without further ado, we bring on Elliot Friedman, who I am sure has been on fumes right now, working on adrenaline with all the plane trips and all the information he's tried to gather, but we're really glad to have him in here. So, Elliot, I got another good wingman today, and Adam, who you know well. Of course, he's now a contributor to Sportsnet, so you guys are sort of like colleagues or co-workers now in some sense. So, say hello to Adam.
Well, first of all, I don't know that he brags about that. He probably wanted to keep that under the radar. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good, Elliot. Good to talk to you. I have to ask, how many airline miles have you racked up since the game one of the Stanley Cup Final?
Well, you know what? I was very fortunate, Adam, that I flew on a charter during the Stanley Cup Final. So I am like a true reporter. I am trying to get those airline miles to count.
So right, double dip.
Get credit. Yeah, and credit for those. But, you know, since the Stanley Cup Final ended, not that anyone wants to hear my travel problems. So Game 7 was Monday. Tuesday morning to go home, I flew 7 a.m. Fort Lauderdale to Chicago, then Chicago to Toronto, got home at 6 p.m. Yesterday morning, I flew 6:15 a.m. Toronto to New York City for the Board of Governors meeting. And I was supposed to leave out of Newark to Vegas at 8:20. We took off at 12:45. I got out of the hotel at 4 a.m. And there is no caffeine left in Vegas. I got through it all.
Goodness.
We appreciate everything that you do for us, Elliot. So
please, you know what? It's not like I'm curing cancer or doing brain surgery.
No.
And this can be handled, yes.
So let's talk about what the Predators could do over these next few days, because obviously we're paying attention to that, but even so, they're one of the more fascinating teams heading into this active part of the offseason. Barry Trotz has intimated on this station many times that he expects to be busy. They're flush in cap space, a lot of draft picks they can use as ammunition for trades. Should we expect a splashy, headline-grabbing move from Barry Trotz over the next few days? And if so, which player or players should we keep an eye on?
I think we dropped. We lost Elliot for a second. We'll have to get him back on the line here.
But I'll have to. He's leaving me on pins and needles.
That's right. It'll be a dramatic pause as we get back Elliot on the line here.
But
either that or the caffeine has run out and he just fell asleep, which I don't think so. The line is not connected here.
No, it's possible. But that sounds like quite the whirlwind trip for Elliot.
Because I think we're all, because we even had some texts on the line here, on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, saying, oh, what if they don't, it'll be so disappointing if they don't, after all of this buildup, make significant moves. But I'm pretty confident one way or the other that there will be significant moves.
Yes, I'm looking forward to hearing what Elliot has to say. I think Connor's got him on the line. Let's see, I'm bated breath here waiting for Elliot Friedman, but he's back. All right. Elliot is back.
So go finish your question there.
So, Elliot, in case you didn't hear, I because of all of this intrigue about the Predators, Barry Trotz has intimated that they could be active. They have a ton of cap space. They have a lot of draft capital.
Yeah.
You know, should we expect a headline-grabbing move from the Predators over the next few days? And if so, which player or players that could be available on the trade market or are available in free agency should we keep an eye on?
Well, I do think he will try. I think that it's whether it comes at the draft or it comes at the free agency, I think it could be either one. I think there's a player that a lot of people are linking with Nashville in the free agent world is Chandler Stephenson. He's a center from Vegas, really good player, key member of their Stanley Cup champion team last year, and a guy who played for Barry in Washington before he was traded to Vegas. They know him very well. Vegas has been unable to sign him to this point, and I think if he gets to the market, Nashville would be one of the teams on his radar. Or the Predators will be one of the teams on his radar. The other player I've wondered about, excuse me, guys, I've smoked about four packs of cigarettes in the last day in airplane fields. but another player I've wondered about for the Predators is Brady Shea, a defenseman from Carolina. Either him or Brett Pesce, but you've lost Ryan McDonagh. You're going to be looking to. I don't know what's happening with Alexander Carrier, so you guys might have a hole on the blue line. You got to look at. I think that either Shea or Pesce, probably Shea more likely than Pesce. We'll see, but he's on your radar. And I think the other guy, someone told me to look out for the other day, as a center, is Ross Colton, who's it's an interesting one. His name is new to the trade market. I think that he's got a no trade clause that kicks in on July 1st, and Colorado needs some flexibility. He's a good player. I mean, you guys saw him face to face the bubble year when he was in Tampa and you guys were in the same division. I do think Ross Colton could be a player on, or is a player on, Nashville's radar. So those would be four names I would try to keep an eye out on.
Speaking of one of Ross Colton's former teammates, we're waiting to see what happens with Steven Stamkos in Tampa Bay, a big decision they have to make there. There have been reports that he could hit the market. He's been connected to the Predators. If that were to happen, what are we looking at on a Steven Stamkos contract? Because we talked with Shayna Goldman earlier in the show. We talked about a shorter-term deal, 2-3 years with a larger cap hit. But I'm sort of in this I'll believe it when I see it mode with Steven Stamkos. I know he was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, he was publicly upset at the beginning of last season that they weren't unable to figure out a new contract last summer when he was eligible to be re-signed. So there might be some hard feelings there perhaps. So what do you think about that? Do you think Steven Stamkos actually makes it to market? And if the Lightning want to re-sign him, they're going to have to shed some salary. Who could be on the way out of Tampa if they are going to try to fit Steven Stamkos back into their cap?
Well, I think that Tanner Jeannot is someone who could be moved. I think that one's kind of been brewing for a little bit of time. I've heard his name out there, and that's a name that you guys know very well, obviously. So I think that he is a player who's on the market. This is the Stamkos thing. Adam, I tend to think about it the same way you do. If you go back, now, first of all, you're right. I think that Stamkos has been disappointed that, if you take a look at some of their key players, Kucherov, Vasilevsky, Hedman, they've always gotten, there's Braden Point, they've always gotten their situations done ahead of time. Stamkos has always had to wait. Like, if you go back to the last time he signed his 8-year contract, he decided to sign it or like just days before free agency, and they didn't budge. They offered him 8x8.5, and they never budged. Like, Steve Yzerman was the GM at the time. He never budged, and finally Stamkos said, yes, I'll take it. Now, I think that Tampa has offers on the table. I've heard wildly different reports as to what they are, so I'm not 100% sure. I think at this point in time, obviously, Stamkos is unsatisfied what's out there, but they're definitely it now. And the one thing I believe that's 100% true, Adam, is that teams want to talk to him. I think that you guys want to talk to him. I think that Detroit wants to talk to him. If Vegas can't sign Jonathan Marchessault, I think that he would be the kind of guy that Vegas might want to talk to. But I think the sense everybody has is he really going to get the free agency? Because of what happened last time, and he just said, okay, I'll take what Tampa wanted, everybody needs to kind of be convinced here or to see here that the same thing won't happen again this time.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. And Elliot, one of the things that I've thought about a lot is if you look at all the avenues Barry Trotz can go, packaging draft picks, a lot of prospects, a lot of cap space. Adam and I have been using the analogy this week. He can shop in pretty much any store. If he wants to go to Rodeo Drive for big name guys, he can do that. If he wants to go to Kmart, obviously you can do that. Some teams don't have all those options, but I'm curious how you try to prioritize and strategize when everything's going to go down quick on Monday. Or obviously there could be a move or two before then, but yeah. Like you said, hey, I want to wait and talk to Stamkos, but then maybe in the 11th hour, Stamkos stays. So you have to have your game plan going, right?
Yeah. Yes, you do. I mean, that, you know, Willie, like, it's like drinking from a fire hose.
Right.
Especially the players will tell you that, too. Now, you may be shocked to hear this. I think there's all sorts of tampering going on all the time.
No.
I think people have stop. Don't say it's true. I think there's all sorts of tampering going on all the time. I think that generally people know what the markets are and who's interested in what and, you know, what certain players can get or where they can go. But players have told me, like, you know, that those first moments on July 1st, especially if someone calls you out of nowhere, it's crazy. Like Jeremy Roenick, who just went to the Hall of Fame, he's told a great story before about one year he was a UFA. It was the summer of 2001, and he was thinking of going to Detroit. They got permission to talk to him in advance. He went to Detroit to visit. They offered him like a great 5-year deal. He was thinking about going. And while he was in Detroit, he got a call from the Flyers saying, we're going to offer you 5 years, $7.5 million a season, but we got to know in the next 15 minutes. And if you don't take it, we're not giving it to you. And he took it. I don't know how often that happens anymore, but it could happen. And I think, I think that Trotz knows there's a chance he'll have a shot at Stevenson. I think he knows that he could potentially get Colton right now. Like, that's one of the things I think you're weighing if you're Trotz. Like, if you're looking at that, you can say something along the lines of, hey, I know... You know, do I want to strike now or do I want to risk not getting either? And that's one of the things you weigh, guys, is, you know, if you don't do so, I always prefer to be motivated by I can do something as opposed to I'm scared an outcome could happen. But you have to be aware of both.
Elliot Friedman is with us. It's interesting you mentioned Jeremy Roenick because, as you can imagine, we had a really interesting discussion about Shea Weber and David Poile being inducted into the Hall of Fame or being named as Hall of Famers. We knew David Poile was going to make it eventually. That was a no-brainer. Yeah. We had some great discussions and reflecting on Shea Weber. I'll be honest, I didn't know until I was listening to you and Jeff Merrick on the pod discussing it that Shea Weber was even eligible for a Hall of Fame because his contract is still technically active. It's now traveled to Utah with the Coyotes organization that's no more. But that's always been kind of a thing. So I didn't even know this was up for discussion. So it kind of took me by surprise. But, not only because of that, but also I think Adam and I were kind of shared in the – we weren't sure he was going to get on right away. But I guess when you take his career with the Predators, that's one lens. But the international accolades – and his history, brief history with Montreal, being the captain, that carried a lot of weight as well.
The one thing I think everybody has to remember is that the same people don't vote for awards and the Hall of Fame. The awards are voted for, especially the Norris, the media, and the Hall of Fame is voted for by the 18 members of the Hall. So I actually think awards and things like that are almost irrelevant. Because it's not the same voters. And as I said on the pod before Weber got in, I thought he had a great chance of being eligible for, of getting in the first time, because he's like a lot of the people who are on that hall, if you could ask them who's a defenseman they would love to have on a team, I bet you every single one of them would have picked Shea Weber. And you have to understand who's voting. The same thing happened, by the way, with Chris Pronger. I believe he was still under contract when he went into the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I can understand why you didn't think of that. But I remembered that particular case, so I wasn't surprised. And I'm really happy for Weber. I think he's very deserving. I think he's an excellent first-ballot choice. He 100% deserves to go in. And I'm dying to see how that guy puts together a three-minute speech. You get 3 minutes. I have never seen him talk for 3 minutes straight.
It's funny. He's about to do a Zoom with the Nashville media here at the bottom of the hour. You could probably get in on this, Elliot, if we time it right. But I'm curious to hear that because you're right. Shea Weber, the least favorite thing he does is talk about himself, as we know. So that's an ongoing thing.
Yeah. That's I love it. I think he's very deserving. And all the players he played against would agree with you, he's still there.
Elliot, I want to ask about a player I heard mentioned first in the conversation you had with Jeff on the podcast, and there has been reporting since then that has fleshed out the situation, and that's Rutger McGroarty, the Winnipeg Jets top prospect.
It
seems like things are at an impasse, and it appears he could be on the move. What could a McGroarty trade look like? Because when Willie and I talked about it, the first thing that popped into mind was the Cutter Gauthier situation earlier in the regular season, being traded from Philadelphia to Anaheim. Another high pick, not happy with his situation, but I'm sure a lot of teams are going to be interested in McGroarty as a 20-year-old with a tremendous pedigree, both in college and on the international stage. What is it going to take for a team to pry him out of Winnipeg if the trade is the way it goes?
Well, I think Winnipeg doesn't have a pick in the first round this year. I think their earliest pick is 37. They traded their first round pick to Montreal for Sean Monahan. So I think if Winnipeg could get back into first round, and the higher the better, obviously, Adam, I think that they would consider that. I've also wondered if he could be part of a bigger deal. That is something else that I've wondered about. I think they've been linked a bit to Natchez. I think that they've had some Ehlers talks with Carolina. We'll see if that one goes anywhere, but maybe McGroarty would be part of something like that that could get them a better return. I think the McGroarty thing went sideways at the end of the year last year. I think the Jets wanted him to go pro, but I think he wanted – I don't know if guarantee is the right word, but I think he would have wanted to play in the regular season this year and maybe a shot at the roster next year. I don't know that Winnipeg saw the same thing, and their paths went sideways at that point. I just think that if they could use him to get into the first round, and like I said, the higher the better, I think they would love to do that.
Now, stop me if you've heard this one before, but Mitch Marner is in the news.
Yeah, oh my God.
I know, Adam,
I compared it today to like cooking with a pot of hot water, and it could spill on you at any second. And it often does.
Yes, it does. That's why I don't do any cooking in my household. But I know that Bradtree Living has been asked about it a ton. He didn't give much away yesterday when discussing it, but we all feel like this is going to come to a head at some point. Of course, Marner holds full control over his situation, so anything the Leafs want to do, he has to be a part of. But could we see any progress in this in terms of a potential trade be made over the next few days, even if something doesn't happen, even if he's not moved? But could we see the steps toward that transpire over the next couple of days?
I think that they have had talks with him with other teams, but he has a no move clause. He controls this. And I don't know how interested he's going to be to doing it. And also I don't think it's impossible that I don't think it's impossible that they offer him a contract for next year. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they'll get an extension done. I think he's going to ask quite a bit. But Marner has control over the situation. And anything that happens is going to happen with his approval.
Elliot, along those lines, what do you think the strategy is with the Oilers and Draisaitl as they still sort of decompress from Game 7? Because they want to know, I'm sure, down the road, how they're going to strategize the next deal for both Draisaitl in 2 years and then McDavid as his deal eventually expires.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Willie, this is that negotiation right now. Like, Draisaitl is going to want to know what McDavid's got to say, thinking, and vice versa. Like, this isn't just a Draisaitl negotiation now. It also becomes a McDavid conversation. I think one of the things that happened here is that the length of the playoff and the run right to Game 7, you're so emotional that it's hard to make decisions in that time. I think what happens is the Oilers will go and try to sign a new GM, and they'll get back to this somewhere in the summer. Like, I don't think the Oilers feel that, or even Draisaitl feels, that there's a deadline this weekend at the draft or by July 1st. I think they're going to be prepared to talk this one out and see how everybody feels after a bit of decompression time and when they get a new GM. But I think this is also as much about McDavid's future as it is about Draisaitl's.
Elliot, before we let you go, I've had a lot of people ask me this, because Barry Trotz is not just looking at this coming off season, but he'll have the Duchesne and Johansson money coming off the books in a couple years. The cap is clearly going up. And somebody asked me, with the series going all the way to Game 7 and the extra revenue that the league gets into that, how much does that affect what the cap is going to be over the next 2 or 3 years as GMs like Barry Trotz are trying to put their budget together for things like the next UC Soros contract, or how much can I spend in free agency looking at my cap the next 2 or 3 years?
You know, it was yesterday was the Board of Governors, and I saw Sean Henry there, and it was actually pretty funny. Sean was on the phone, and I don't know who he was talking with. So there was the room where the Board of Governors was met, and then there was a corridor, and then there was an area where we were doing our interviews with the commissioner and such. And Sean moved to that area because he thought it would be private, and then he saw me walking over there, and then he ran away from me like I was like radioactive. So I really wanted to know, A, who he was talking to and about what, and B, I didn't know that Sean Henry hated me that much, that he had to run that far away from me that quick.
I don't think it's personal, Elliot. I think he's a Yankees fan. He knows I'm a Mets fan, and the Mets beat them twice, so he's probably
maybe
not in the best of moods.
Maybe that's what it is. Anyway, I think they probably got some degree of an update yesterday. Now, I'll say this, Willie, the League and the Players Association are very careful about this. The cap is here. It was in the CBA. It would go up to where it did. And then they, because revenues have been good, they added another $300,000 to it. Next year, it's supposed to go up 5%, so it should end up around 92.4. And then there have been people who said to me, they're hoping in 3 years it's going to be around $100 million. But everybody wants to be really careful. The Canadian TV deal is up in 2 years. They'll really want to do something big with that there. They'll try to make it bigger. Look, they just had a great Game 7. And as someone told me, it's not like that part of Florida and Edmonton are the biggest TV markets in the NHL. Like, that's what they were most excited about, the 7 games, the great story. But also that the sport did really well in a place where, you know, U.S. TV numbers weren't guaranteed to be good. And so I think everybody's really hopeful here, but nobody's going to put a number on it. I'm sure yesterday Sean got a bit of an update as to what they're thinking, but everybody's very careful about putting numbers on it.
Okay, but I'm glad you told me that he was kind of in a bad mood, and I should have thought of this, so I won't call Sean today.
Wasn't he in a bad mood? But he literally, whatever he was on the phone with, it had to be sensitive because he saw me walking over. And like I said, it was like I was radioactive. He couldn't have gotten away from me. Like prolonged exposure to me could have caused him pain or disease.
So we'll let it sit for a couple of days before I throw those questions at him at some point. But Elliot, great stuff as always. I know you're super busy. Thanks for spending your few minutes with us this week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care, Adam. Great to chat with you.
You as well, Elliot. Thank you.
All right. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. He'll have another podcast coming up, I'm sure, before the draft. I believe it should drop today or tomorrow. Maybe. Does it come out this morning? I haven't heard. If they've got one this morning, I didn't hear it yet. But very, very busy. So when we come back, Adam, let's hit on the four names that he threw out there because, he doesn't just randomly throw these names out there. And obviously he had his angle on the Stamkos situation in Tampa. We'll come back with more. Elliot Friedman joining us each week on the show. You're listening to Willie and D-Mace. Adam Vingan is in, co-hosting with me. We'll have our special draft coverage all day tomorrow, really, on our show. And then, of course, the special live draft coverage from Fordyce in Bellevue.
William D. Mace, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Adam Vingan in for Derek Mason, I'm getting it right now, and Willie Donick. We just had Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and 32 Thoughts on our show. Always love chatting with Elliot, always love hearing what Elliot has to say. He's always got the good tea, as we'd like to say. So we appreciate Elliot making time out of his very busy schedule to join us, but we wanted to touch on the first thing he talked about when we were talking about players that the Predators could target via trade or free agency. And there were two, both of whom are forwards, that I think we should dig into a little bit. Chandler Stephenson, who's been playing for the Vegas Golden Knights, won the Stanley Cup with Vegas last season. And Ross Colton, who started his career with the Tampa Bay Lightning and has been playing for the Colorado Avalanche. Maybe this was actually his only season in Colorado. Was this his first season in Colorado? I think it was.
Colton?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he had been playing for the Tampa Bay Lightning and was traded last summer to the Colorado Avalanche, where he spent this past season. So let's talk about Stephenson first, because as I mentioned, the free agent center market lacks star power. There's not that one go-to guy on the market for a center. I mentioned Elias Lindholm as probably the number one center on the board, and I would stay away from Lindholm. I think he's going to make too much money, more than he probably deserves at this point. So let's talk about Stephenson, because he is not a household name. And I know that Jared Stillman is listening, and he said yesterday that Chandler Stephenson did not pass the Jared Stillman, what he calls the Mikhail Granlund rule, which is if he has not heard of the player that the Predators are reportedly interested in, that player must not be good. So let's talk about Stephenson so Jared can learn about Chandler Stephenson.
Right, because evidently Jared did not watch the Stanley Cup playoffs last year when Chandler Stephenson had 10 goals and 10 assists on the way to a Stanley Cup championship.
Yes,
so
20 points and
22
games. Good
to know Jared was watching closely as Chandler Stephenson was a huge contributor to the team that won the whole thing.
I do like needling Jared about that particular rule. But as you said, he had 10 goals, 10 assists, 20 points, and 22 playoff games last year as the Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. So Chandler Stephenson started his career in Washington. He played for Barry Trotz the year the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. He played in every playoff game, I believe, for the Capitals in their run to the Stanley Cup in 2018. He was a role player at that point. He was not an established player in the league. He gets traded to Vegas in 2019-2020, I believe, and over the past few years has developed into a reliable second-line center. This past season, he was, I believe, primarily their second-line center. He played a lot with Mark Stone on his wing, but a versatile player, a good two-way player. He had back-to-back 60-plus point seasons. In 21-22, he had 21 goals and 64 points in 79 games. The year the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup, he had 16 goals, 49 assists, 65 points in 81 games. Now, he took a little bit of a step back this year. He had 51 points in 75 games, 16 goals, 35 assists. But if you're looking for a player who can round out your top six and play second line center, Stevenson is a fresh 30. He turned 30 in April with a Stanley Cup winning pedigree and a history with Barry Trotz. Stevenson does make a lot of sense as a target for the Predators.
Here's what I like about Stevenson. But besides, I'll add to what you said, because the numbers themselves are pretty good numbers. But in sort of the Jared realm, he's not going to blow you away with the stats that you see in goals, assists, points, even though they're good, right? They're very good. But I think of it as a winning player mm-hmm. who's a fit. If they think he's a fit for the Andrew Brunette system, and I can envision Chandler Stevenson, because unlike Jared, I have heard of him. I've watched him a lot, and he's really good. He gets going on the rush. He's a fast player. He is a center that helps you win, even if he's not scoring a ton of goals or getting a ton of points. He is going to contribute offensively. But I would say he's a step up from a Colton Sissons offensively, a pretty big step up, even though he's not a true number one center. But if you have O'Reilly and Stevenson as centers, and that bumps a Colton Sissons down or over to the wing if Tommy Novak grows into another, you know, offensive-minded center. And I can see Novak being sort of a quasi-center like he's been. They also have Cody Glass, which I'm not sure what the plan for him going forward is. He's got one more year on his deal. But they do have a lot of options on who to play at center, with Michael McCarron maybe being the guy that's sitting there at the fourth-line center. You can move Colton Sissons down there. That's the beauty of Sissons. You can put him really anywhere. Stevenson is a great face-off guy, and they lacked that, the face-off depth, because other than Sissons and O'Reilly, they didn't really have a face-off expert. So that's another way to help. So I see him helping in a lot of different ways, if that's the way they go. The question is, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Adam, are you going to have to pay a little extra to get him because there's not a lot of centers? That's why I think Elliot brought up Ross Colton, who I honestly haven't thought of as much. Ross Colton is a little younger. He also is a true center, takes a lot of faceoffs, was brought in to sort of be that center behind the Nathan MacKinnon line.
Yes.
But he's been a winning player on good teams.
Won the Stanley Cup with the Lightning, the second of the two.
Yes, and he's only 27. So I think he'd be a little less expensive and a less sought after than Stevenson. But it kind of tells me, if Elliott is getting these vibes, that Barry Trotz is kind of looking to see, could I put together in a very balanced top nine that doesn't blow you away with that superstar, can I come at you with three really good lines that are two-way lines but also have scoring punch, with mixed in with these veterans and also young players on the rise like Evangelista, Parsonen, et cetera.
Stevenson is coming off of a four-year, $11 million contract. That's a $2.75 million cap hit. It wouldn't shock me if he doubled that or nearly doubled that in free agency. What's interesting about Colton is, Ross Colton, that is, not Colton Sissons. That would be difficult if you have to broadcast those games with Ross Colton and Colton Sissons. Just hope they're not on the same line. Anyway, I believe that, the Avalanche acquired Ryan Johansson with the hope that he would be the second-line center behind Nathan MacKinnon. Because after Nazem Kadri left Colorado, he was part of that Stanley Cup-winning team, after he left Colorado, they had a hard time finding a second-line center. Now, Ryan Johansson did not work, and I believe they turned to Ross Colton to be that second-line center. So he has experience playing there. But then at the deadline, they acquired Casey Mittelstadt, and he became the second-line center. So I think Colton settled into the third-line center role. Now, I think he can play in that middle six on the second line or the third line. I think Stevenson is a more established top six player than Colton, which is why I would like Stevenson versus Colton if those were my two choices.
I feel a little bit better about where he is and all the things he does. I'm not as familiar with Colton, but that's, again, where a guy like Luke Shen would be really good insight on exactly what Colton's makeup is. But those ex Lightning guys, they seem to be just spread out all over the league as guys that you kind of want on your team as those serial winners.
Right. You can think of it all over the place. Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde, Barclay Goodrow, who was waived and claimed by the Sharks. Colton, like you said, they're all over the place because that's the issue with their salary cap. They have to get rid of some of these guys in order to sign their core players, which was the Steven Stamkos conversation that we had with Elliot as well.
So I would look beyond the Jared rule in that it's not necessarily going to win you the press conference, but both of these guys could be good complementary winning players who you're going to pay substantially, but you're paying for the all-around skill set, not just goal scoring. That's what everybody sort of on the surface fixates on. But think about beyond a guy that's going to score 30 goals, but is it a guy that's going to lead other players into a position to score more, create more offense,
right,
put you in a better position to get more goals? That's valuable, right? And also be able to do it responsibly, where you can play them against top players. They're going to win faceoffs. If they're out on the ice at the end of the game, you feel good about it, and you bolster the depth. You go by it that way.
Stevenson is the kind of player that you can trust in all situations. I mean, as I said, his most common line mate last season at even strength was Mark Stone, who is one of the best two-way wingers in the NHL. And he and Stevenson played well off of each other. So he is capable of playing with high-end players, but he's defensively responsible. As you said, he wins more than half of his faceoffs on a regular basis. There's a lot to like about Stevenson, and you probably will have to overpay a little bit, but you're not going to pay an exorbitant amount of money, exorbitant price.
Are we thinking somewhere in the five?
I feel like in
range?
The 5 million range.
It depends on how many people are bidding for him,
right.
But it's just one avenue, and it caught my attention that Elliot brought him up because I've been thinking about him because I know that Barry Trotz really thinks highly of him. He knows the character. He's watched him play. And I think on the big stage, he's done very well. Another thing to keep in mind, when Jack Eichel has missed extensive time,
which
and
he has,
when Mark Stone has missed extensive time, Stevenson has been a guy that can raise his role, right, and play bigger minutes for a 2-3-4 week period, and you don't lose a ton, right? And I think he's probably looking around going, boy, I think I could put up more numbers if I get on a team where I'm playing a little bit of a bigger role. So that might be appealing to Chandler Stevenson.
And remember, the Predators acquired a player at the trade deadline, Anthony Beauvillier, who Barry Trotz coached and had familiarity with, and that was one of the reasons why Barry Trotz was comfortable going out and getting Beauvillier. So don't discount the Barry Trotz, I coached this guy factor in free agency, and Stevenson would check off that box.
Did anything strike you about the Stamkos discussion we had with Elliot that made you think any differently?
I'm really curious about what Tampa Bay is going to have to do to get under the cap more under the cap in order to accommodate the contract.
And can they do it before Monday when the floodgates open? Right?
No, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see, no pun intended, shocked lightning. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Lightning do something big in the next couple of days in order to create room for Steven Stamkos.
The draft often leads to those conversations.
And remember,
the draft is in the sphere, so who knows what will happen in the sphere? It's also the last draft that everybody will be at the tables in one concentrated area, right?
Yes.
Which you would think might lend itself to more trades, but
a very interesting, time at the Sphere. As I said, my dad just spent 3 days, well, not at the Sphere for 3 full days, but went to 3 nights of Dead and Company at the Sphere last week. So hopefully they've, sucked out all the air that might have been, whatever was flowing in the air at the Sphere over these past 3 days with Dead and Company. Hopefully they aired it out in time for the
So you're saying that could be a mood check. It could affect the mood if they have not
Yes. The GMs might get the munchies, is what I'm saying, making some of these trades. Anyway.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll also check in with Ali Melnicki from Zen Sports, and we'll get this week's plays, if you will. So keep it right here on 102.5 The Game. Our final segment of the show is coming up next. And don't forget, tomorrow we'll do this all over again with the draft tomorrow night. Big, big things are coming, I promise you, around the NHL, and we think the Predators are going to be right at the forefront with a lot of different ways to try to improve the team. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here for the final segment of the show. Stillman & Company is coming up next. Willie and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and over and in Tennessee to bet. Allie Milnicki, our good friend from Zen Sports, joins us. And we'll check in with her on what's going on in her world. Allie, what's going on?
Not too much. Counting down football season just like everyone else.
That is true. That's how we're rolling here. And in the meantime, we've got a big hockey off season coming up, so that's keeping us busy. So I'll just ask an open-ended question to you and your circles at Zen Sports. Is it baseball? What are some of the things that your clients can do to stay active until we get that football clock going?
Sure. Right now we have Copa America 2024 and the Euros 2024 going on. We're seeing a lot of action like that. People love betting international soccer. The USA men's have a big game against Panama on Saturday. They're pretty big favorites. And then we got UFC 303 coming up this Saturday. I know there's no Conor McGregor. Everyone was waiting for that, but there's still plenty of fights to bet on. You also got daily baseball. So there's a lot.
That's great. So, Allie, I know you follow New York sports pretty well. Do you have any prop bets on the Grimace and how many times he's going to be shown during each Mets broadcast?
Whatever it is, I'll take the over on that one.
Take the over for sure. That has become a phenomenon, without a doubt. I know there's a lot of people who are Nashville SC fans here, and I agree with you. There is a growing part of our listening audience that is way into international soccer. So how much action are you seeing? I think that is something that's really grown the last 5 years, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I'd say right now in the summer where it's still kind of dead with the big major sports, that's the majority of our action we're getting now. You know, we get a little golf. We definitely get UFC from week to week, but it's definitely soccer right now.
Allie, I know we have you on all the time. We talk about particular games, but for people that hear this and they hear us talking about Zen Sports throughout our show, what's the easiest way to sort of check out and see what you guys have to offer?
Sure, you could just sign up for the app. It's free. You don't have to make a deposit or anything, but you can see all the sports we're offering now. We got NBA Summer League coming up. We obviously have MLB, UFC. We have a lot of stuff coming up. Canadian Football League. So there's a lot to bet. So just download the app, sign up, and you're all set to go.
That's fantastic stuff. Allie, great to catch up with you. As always, we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Allie Milnicki from Zen Sports. Always fun to catch up with her. And, you know, maybe there'll be a Grimace prop or something like that.
Yeah, bet the over, as you said.
Bet the over on the Grimace. All right, Adam, before we get out of here, one thing that has struck me with the strategizing, and it is fun to talk about the tee, right? You hear so-and-so says they're really going after Stamkos. I love that stuff. That is what makes it all fun. I also try to sort of build the conceptual philosophy here. And one thing that I've thought about is Andrew Burnett's background. You just told me that he was in the Sports Logic?
Sport Logic is doing a coaches symposium in Las Vegas for the draft, and the account just tweeted that Andrew Burnett is a part of a panel.
Interesting. And Sport Logic is something that our broadcast on the Predator telecast has access to. I know you've looked at that site a lot. It's one of several analytic-based websites that provides a lot of stats that go beyond – fancy stats is the general term, but stats that go beyond what you see on the box score every night.
Teams rely on it. 31 of 32 teams, if my recollection serves, use SportLogic in some capacity.
Interesting. And I can't say that I'm fluent in it. I probably understand only a percentage of it. But it does really help me and our broadcast, I think, paint a picture of what's happening. But Andrew Burnett, I think, is definitely on the cutting edge of that. He also has a unique background in that he, for a long time, was a scout and an assistant general manager. Mm-hmm. So I would think that, along with his deep background going way back with Barry Trotz, will help them sort of get on the same page of what it is exactly that the Predators roster needs. Right, because it may not be the splashy guy like Stamkos. Maybe it will be, but maybe it's somebody that, as Jared would say, he's never heard of. But it might be the perfect guy at the right price. I think that's the goal, right? How do you make your team better with not just necessarily the best player, but the right fit, the right player?
Right, and Shayna mentioned Nikolaj Ehlers, I think, when we talked to her at the top of the show about someone who might be available via trade from Winnipeg, who I think would be a great fit with the Predators. You know, Ehlers is one of those players who doesn't get a lot of ice time in Winnipeg for some reason, doesn't get a lot of power play time, plays on, you know, lower lines, but incredibly productive relative to his ice time. One of the best skaters in the league, in my opinion. And when you talk about best skaters, he's usually not on that list, like if you're just talking generally. But his ability to generate offense off the rush and enter the offensive zone with possession, you know, he rates among one of the top forwards in the league. And that kind of player, I think, is really important for this team. I think it's important to get players who are comfortable in that type of environment. Now, we had a texter talk about Stamkos and whether or not he would fit into that environment. And maybe it wouldn't be a perfect fit, but Stamkos, you know, even if he's not the most fleet-footed, he thinks the game quickly, and that's part of playing fast as well. Not just how fast you can get up and down the ice, but how fast you can process things. And Stamkos' hockey IQ in that regard, you know, is, you know, there's no issue there. So I think about Ehlers. I think about Natchez. I think about, you know, we talked about Sean Walker on defense. You know, Chandler Stephenson that we just talked about. Like, players like that who can play, who can thrive in that up-tempo style. Because we saw a lot of players on the Predators last season, you know, blossom. I mean, Gus Nyquist had the best season of his career playing in that kind of system. Philip Forsberg had a fantastic season. Like, I think that finding players that, you know, thrive in the speed game would be very important to get.
I think a lot of Kiefer Sherwood, who Barry Trotz told Jared the other day, that they've talked. But right now, whatever the Predators are offering, and Barry Trotz has said pretty specifically, role players like that, they have a budget that they're going to stick to. And I think they would love for Kiefer Sherwood to take what they've offered. Probably the same is true on a bigger scale with Carrier. But I think of Sherwood, the speed and the ability to forecheck, that's attractive to Andrew Brunette. But if you could have a Kiefer Sherwood that has just maybe a little bit more finishing touch, that might be ideal. So I'm looking at it in those terms. Like, I really feel like that high-tempo guy that could maybe add to the team speed collectively, two or three guys like that would be the ingredient that they're trying to find. But how do they do it? How much are they spending? How much room are they keeping for the internal prospects to help out? These are all the things I'm most intrigued about as they enter into this period.
And we'll have plenty of time to talk about that tomorrow as we prepare for the NHL Draft Round 1 tomorrow. Join us then at 11 o'clock. Adam Bingen in for Derek Mason, Willie Donick here, Stoneman and Company. Coming up next, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game.